The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Right there on Causeway Boulevard, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon has 2019 Escalade 0% APR for 72 months for qualified buyers. Get all the details at edmorriscadillacbrandon.com, as well as 2019 XTS 0% APR for 72 months, plus $1,500 down payment assistance when you finance through GM Financial. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.com is the website, and of course, it's backed by Morse. And at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, General Manager Brian Danahy knows if you've been thinking about moving up to Cadillac luxury, now's the time. During the Tournament of Savings at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, right now get move-up sales event savings on a 2019 XT5 crossover. Drive for only $339 a month at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorriscadillactampa.com. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com for all the details. We're so pleased for the support of Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa of all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. His three columns a week and the podcasts. A couple of pieces of business before we get to the star of the show, which of course is Ira Kaufman. Please subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. We appreciate all the subscriptions and the people who are looking for the podcast, and of course, all the listeners. Enough of me. It's all about the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-renowned, internationally popular Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the one and only, the king of Newport Richie, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the custodian of Canton, the one and only, Ira Kaufman. Ira, it's busy time for the Bucks these days.
Oh, man. D-Jax is gone, but I'm still here, baby. And as I predicted,
yes.
You always mention it.
Yes.
On the day he signed that freaking contract, he ain't going to be here in year three. Some people got a little nervous about that. Oh, it looks like he's staying. Look what Arians is saying. Look at Jason Light at the podium. And you were right there at Indy when I read the quotes, because you sent them to me. I thought to myself, typical combine chatter. Believe nothing that you hear.
Pablum.
Good one. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I wouldn't be shocked if Jackson has a productive season for the Eagles. And if he does, Buck fans shouldn't curse out Arians or Light or Winston. You wish them the best, but it didn't work out those first two years in Tampa. It just wasn't very productively.
No, it wasn't.
And nobody's going to ever come solve the mystery of why Jameis Winston could not hit DeSean Jackson in stride.
Well, I think it's as simple as Jackson refused to work out with him. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, how's the guy supposed
get
to develop
the timing
him?
Down?
Yeah, how's that supposed to happen when he won't work with him? So
I don't buy the stuff about it. He wouldn't lay out for a Winston pass. I'm not buying that.
There were times, there's a couple passes. I'm not talking about laying out, but what I'm talking about is reacting to the, as a scout would say, react to the thrown ball. He didn't react to the thrown ball. There's a couple of instances. Now, J.P. Peterson is one that was harsh on DeSean Jackson. But there were a couple of examples where that was legitimate criticism. But, you know, diving out for balls, I can't go there.
In the words of Dirk Cutter, the guy was always open. He was open all the time.
Well, yeah. And the thing about him not connecting with Jameis, that's the only receiver Jameis ever had issues with. And it just happened to be the same receiver that wouldn't work with him. I would love to find out someday the genesis of this friction between him and Jameis. Because he said he came here because of Jameis. And how about 2 months later, if that? 2 months into the first season, it was all bets are off. So
and of course, it doesn't help Winston when Jackson and Fitzpatrick, you know, develop a little chemistry, a little rapport.
Yeah.
That first game in New Orleans, perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Bombs away to DeSean, right in stride. Was that the game with the first play of the game was a 75-yard bomb? Boom.
Yeah.
You know, he's arrived. And that didn't help Winston's cause with Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Jackson saying to himself, I got no problem with this, with Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? So,
well, at least for a couple games.
Right now, the Bucks are down three guys, right? They haven't added anybody, and they're down three guys. But you know what? Lee, we got to be fair, and we try to be fair on the podcast and on the website. If we weren't, we wouldn't be the fastest growing Buck coverage center in town. When you look at who grabbed these guys, the three of them, Lee, and what they paid for them, You'd be hard-pressed to criticize the Bucks for letting them hit free agency. They knew what price range they were getting. The Bucks couldn't go there. And you could talk about, you know, why are the Bucks in a salary cap hardship situation. But now that they are, $9 million for Humphrey seems a little steep. It does.
It does, but that doesn't mean they couldn't afford them. They could just flip Jackson's salary cap. And I'll argue this. Now, there's no doubt that Mike Evans is the best receiver. No, I mean, anybody questions that, they need to sober up. It's that simple. But the most consistent receiver the Bucks had, game in and game out, was Humphreys. Little Birdie was telling me, Arians didn't have anything against Humphreys. He just wanted more speed on the field. Fair. Okay. That, combine that with the fact that you're in a salary cap crunch, I understand. Now, the one move that may be the most unpopular, it's debatable, because DeSean Jackson has his fans, is DeQuan Alexander move. Now, I said this on Twitter. I got a little bit of flack for it. I love John Lynch. Talked to him at the Combine. Respect him. Love him. Nothing. There's nothing to dislike about John. I wish him well. All the best. You name it. He needs to start being checked for CTE. I mean, Quan's coming off a major knee injury. You can't tell me that's a feather in his cap that he was the middle linebacker for one of the worst defenses a human being has ever seen. And I'm not exaggerating. And he gets that kind of raise?
Lynch might have been competing against himself in this case. I'm not sure there was a clamor for on that scale.
Yeah.
For Quan Alexander. And obviously, if the Bucks, you know, went to his agent in the last
Rosenhaus
month and said, you know, we'll give you $8 million, and Rosenhaus already knew that he was going to make a lot more on a free agent
probably
market.
Yeah.
So, again, you can't fault the Bucks.
Not at all with Quan.
Lee, I'm going to be very curious to see how Alexander fits in with a different coaching staff, and a different scheme. I think had he stayed in Tampa, and I don't blame him for leaving, and I don't think you do either. That kind of coin. I would have been curious with a different coaching staff, because Quan needed to be coached. He needed to be polished up, coached up.
Now, you love his intangibles. They're through the roof, and I've said this before, and I mean this from my heart. He may be the perfect teammate. He's that good of a guy.
He's going to be missed in that room. There's no doubt about it.
He'll be missed in the room, but we can't, at least I cannot overlook the fact that defense was horrible ever since he was a rookie. You know, tend to forget, Lovey was fired because of the defense.
So you say, with the exception of five games in 2016, what did this defense do with Quan Alexander?
Exactly. Now,
fair point.
People could argue, oh, Levante's there. Levante's regarded throughout the league as one of the best. I don't think
McCoy was there.
Yeah, McCoy was there, and he's, again, throughout the league, regarded as one of the best. JPP, it's silly to suggest he's bad. But Quan was, I know Gerald McCoy and I know Levante have been consistent pillars of that defense, just like Quan has been. But aside from five games, that defense is one of the worst defenses in the league, and in some cases, the worst in NFL history. And it got better when Quan got hurt. Coincidence? I'm not a big believer in coincidences. And I hate to say that because I like Quan so much, but I got to be fair and I got to be objective and I got to be honest. Whether that was a coincidence or a cause and effect, we shall see. But you know what? You can't tell me the worst defense in the league is going to miss a middle linebacker. You can't tell me that.
You know, Lee, this...
They can only go up.
This angle of the Bucks being relatively strapped in terms of salary cap, especially what they've been the last 5 years, they've had some of the biggest cushion in the league going into March. And Lee, I thought it was very curious, and I thought, you know, Light actually let his guard down for a moment, only a moment. But you were there, and he did start saying when somebody asked him, hey, you don't have a lot of money to spend this time around. And he kind of acknowledged that we kind of do better with the second and third tier guys in free agency. Yeah, and it's true. We've been saying it. And how can Light look anybody in the eye, Lee, and deny that these guys that he targets early, for the most part, terrible. They don't work out, Lee.
The Swaggy Bakers.
They don't work out. Grimes is kind of in the middle of the situation. You can't call him a big mistake.
First
Grimes.
Few years, he did well.
He didn't want to be here in 2018, and it showed.
And then, by the way, I got to get this off my chest. I've written about it on JoeBucksFan.com. I had something on Twitter about it. Not sure if you saw it in Iron. There's a picture, and I'm not really upset about the picture itself. There's a picture of seven guys on the defense. It was, I think, before the Carolina game. Quan was one of them, so he was still healthy. It was a home game, so it couldn't have been Carolina. He didn't play Carolina at home.
It was before the game, you said? Or?
At some point during the game.
Okay.
And they're posing in the end zone like a bunch of bikers, like real tough guys.
After a takeaway or something?
Well, the picture's not specific, but they're all, seven guys are posing with their arms crossed like, no, we're badasses, don't screw with us. Meanwhile, at the time, they had the worst defense in NFL history. And the guy who's front and center, he didn't have his arms closed, but he's laying on the ground posing. Front and center was Brent Grimes. Now, I like Brent Grimes, and he did a good job his first 2 years there. This is not a shot at Brent Grimes at all. But Brent Grimes publicly admitted on his wife's podcast, he threw in the towel because he was upset he wasn't getting paid enough. And here these guys are posing like they're Dick Butkus and Ray Nitschke and Jack Lambert all rolled into one. Meanwhile, they have the worst defense league. Okay, that's a bad look. I get it. But Friday afternoon, some genius working on the Bucs social media team, and I'm sorry if that insults somebody, well, this was insulting to me, and this was insulting to virtually every Bucs fan. They throw that photo out there of these guys posing like a bunch of clowns, and like, this is how we roll into the weekend. Oh, really? You roll into a weekend like a bunch of freaking losers? Like the biggest loaves, quitters in the NFL history? Really? That's something to be proud of? That's something to exalt over? Give me a freaking break.
You know,
like, they couldn't find a picture of Gerald McCoy or Lavonte David or JPP doing something and have the same message. And I get what social media is about. It's fan engagement. I get that. But that was insulting. And I put this on Twitter, and surprisingly, only three people argued with me. And the biggest complaint that I got of the three people that came back at me was, they're just having fun. Really? So being the worst in NFL history is fun? How about the people paying your salary? Think they were having fun?
You know what it reminds me of, Lee? Is the
it was like Little League nonsense.
Is the receiver who catches a touchdown that makes it 30-14.
Oh, like a star?
And goes crazy in the end zone.
ASJ?
With a big celebration.
ASJ.
Oh, whoever. You
but
know,
but like, yeah.
You see it on different teams.
I'm being sarcastic, but ASJ did do that.
You know, show a little decorum.
Or the guy, they're getting blown out by 30 points. The guy makes a tackle for a 3-yard gain. He jumps up and down. Like, hey, look at me. Okay, great.
Show a little perspective.
You know, when they talk about culture, the culture is so bad at One Buck Palace that it is in every office, every broom closet, everywhere in that building. If someone on the social media team thought that was really cool and hip and lit to throw that out there as something to celebrate, that just demonstrates either someone's completely clueless and out of touch with reality, or the losing culture is that deep there.
They should have understood how that's going to play it with Buck Nation.
And it didn't play well.
These fans are disenfranchised.
Yeah.
You know, and discouraged.
Yeah.
11 years will do that to you, Lee.
And the thing, like I said, I'm a Brent Grimes fan, but I can't condone what he did. I can't condone it. And he's front and center in that picture, and they're throwing it out there, they being the Bucks. Like, this is something to hold up as an example to have a great weekend. Are you kidding me?
When
you strike out with a chick, that's your goal? Like, Grimes quit? She should quit with the woman at the bar?
I knew you'd bring up Muriel Berkowitz in this thing. Now, I mentioned her name again on Twitter the other day. Javier loves it. When we do our second podcast this week, by the time we tape it, free agency will be up and going. It'll be
non-tampering.
Non-tampering, 4 o'clock Wednesday or whatever. So I'm going to ask you point blankly. I've already written. Give me one or two guys that you think won't break the bank that makes sense for the 2019 Bucks to pursue. Give me one on each side of the ball.
I really haven't studied that, but I will say it's a buyer's market for safeties. I know some Buck fans are disappointed. I get it that they didn't get Tyrann Mathieu. You know, he's getting a heck of a lot of money from your Chiefs. And the Bucks are handcuffed. They don't have...
Chiefs are going for the gusto.
Yeah, they're
when
one play away.
When you're in the AFC title game...
They're one penalty away from a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you go for it.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't blame them. But the Bucks, they don't have the money unless they're going to toss people overboard. And probably the most vulnerable is Gerald McCoy at that $13 million salary. So if you go get a player, you got to replace him. In other words, you got to throw someone off the ship. A dozen safeties out there with starting experience that are available. So it's going to be a buyer's market for safeties. Now, the guy I want the Bucks to target is C.J. Mosley. as of this recording, which is roughly...
Everything I'm reading is the guy's going to bust the bank over there, Lee.
And I understand if you get Mosley, it's bye-bye McCoy. I get that. They could draft McCoy's replacement at number five. My preference would be a defensive end, edge
rusher.
Right, right. But, you know, McCoy is on the wrong side of 30, making $13 million. If McCoy doesn't go this year, he's probably going next year when Jameis signs.
And they drafted Vea with McCoy in mind?
Sure. Exactly. Now, Mosley, I think he could replace Kwon, and I think he's what the Bucs need. He's a good player. He's dependable.
On a good defense.
On a very good defense. All pro, what, four times I think he's all pro? He's missed three games in 5 years, Ira. Kwon can't say that. And I'm not knocking Kwon. That's just reality. And so this guy's durable. He's played on a hell of a defense. And I got a video. I'm going to post this late Monday night, early Tuesday morning. There's a video he did. It's a couple weeks old. He being C.J. Mosley, where it was snowing in Baltimore. And he had a few colorful adjectives and adverbs about the weather. And he said, you know, you don't get this in Alabama. You don't get this in California. You don't get this in Florida. If you don't franchise me, watch out. So it sounds like he wants to play in Florida.
And you're thinking that you pair him with Lavonne David.
Oh, yes.
And you could go to a 3-4. Now, you still need that edge rusher.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows what Noah Spence is going to do.
The wild card, yeah.
Or you draft a Josh Allen or something at 5.
Yes,
there
yes.
you go. But, boy, him and Lavonne David, that's formidable inside linebackers. Now, he's going to cost you.
Yes.
He's going to cost you.
Again, McCoy makes $13 million. That's probably minimum what he's going to cost. Minimum.
What do you got in mind for offense? You got a running back or a guard you're looking at?
Well, I was hoping Carlos Hyde.
Or a kicker?
I don't know if the Bucs will get a running back. The only reason I say that is, you know, the proverbial word on the street I'm hearing that Bruce Arians was not blowing smoke at the combine about Peyton Barber. He really likes Peyton Barber. Who knows about Ronald Jones? You know, we're going to find out in a few months if it was coaching or if it was players. We're going to find out in a few months. And right now, it's looking like the powers that be at One Buck, they're thinking it was the coaching because you don't see many acquisitions yet. I know they're hamstrung with the money, but you can make room. You'd have to sacrifice some people, whether it be McCoy, whether it be Cameron Brate. I'd hate to see that, but there are ways they can come up with cash. Will Golston's another guy. He's expendable. They can come up with cash. Bo Allen.
Why
am I sounding like Chris Russo? But they can find money, but they haven't been aggressive yet. And that kind of leads me to believe that they're thinking it was the coaching, not so much the players.
I got my eye on a running back, Lee. I don't think this guy's a bad player. I think he's a nice fit behind Barber, especially as a third down guy. I have zero. Now, let me say it as strongly as I can say it. Zero.
Zilch, nada.
Zero confidence that Ronald Jones is going to be able to catch balls.
I agree with you.
Now, he might be a runner, but he ain't catching balls.
Until proven
you
otherwise.
You and I have seen enough.
Yeah, until proven otherwise.
Stone hands. Absolute stone.
Roberto Duran.
Which is probably why he lasted into the second round. It's probably a factor. Mm-hmm. Other scouts know this. Anyway, this guy, I think you get him on the cheap. He was displaced in Jacksonville because they drafted Fournette at number 4. Guy's name's T.J. Yeldon. He's the first 6 games, Fournette had a hamstring injury. He wasn't playing much. Yeldon averaged 4.5 yards. Now, when Fournette was able to play, you got to play him.
Yeah,
he's the fourth pick in the 2017 draft. You got to play him. I think Fournette's wildly overrated.
Yeah.
I think he's very overrated.
He's hurt a lot.
And he's hurt a lot.
Now, isn't he kind of a pain in the posterior?
I think he is.
Yeah, what, he suspended once? Suspended by the team.
I think Barber's still going to be the number one back, even if you get Yeldon. But, Lee, and I hate to mention this name because you always wince. You always wince when I mention the name, and you know what's coming. But since 2015, when Charles Chuck Sims had a hell of a year behind an all-pro back in Doug Martin, and you don't see that often where a second guy gets mentioned behind an all-pro back,
mm-hmm,
having his own 1,000-yard and touch, you know, all-purpose yards. That's hard to do.
And
they haven't had a third-down guy, and Sims fizzled out after that. He did nothing.
He was more of a slot receiver than anything after that.
Yeldon is an excellent receiver out of the backfield.
It's a value pick, that's for sure.
It's a value pick. It's not going to break the bank. Go get him.
You know, a little bit ago, a few seconds ago, I mentioned we're going to find out in a few months whether it was coaching, whether it was players. What was the difference between Charles Sims in his good rookie year, and your words, not mine, how he fizzled out later. What was the difference?
Different coaching staff.
Yeah, Lovie Smith was head coach. And Lovie, as we know, Cutter said, emphasized the run. When Cutter came in, he emphasized the pass. Coincidence? I don't know. We'll find out in a few months. And speaking of a difference in blocking, because obviously, you know, you can't run without blocking. And the Bucs had two rookies that were blocking that year, Donovan Smith and Allie Marpet. Since we last spoke, Donovan Smith obviously re-upped his contract. Well, it's looking like a bargain right now, isn't it? After what Trent Brown got from Chucky?
I don't understand why these guys don't learn the New England lesson, Lee. Whether it's assistant coaches or left tackles, don't go crazy because, you know, they happen to be out of Foxborough. You want the man, you got to go get the man. Mm-hmm. And the man's Belichick, and he ain't going nowhere. They got the best offensive line coach, maybe, of all time.
The Italian dude, right?
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
He retired for 2 years, and Belichick showed up on his front door saying, you got to come back, Dante.
Because they sunk, right?
Yeah, Scarnecca. The guy's fabulous. I don't know what the hell he does, mm-hmm. but he's fabulous. But
the only guy, and I don't know who Chucky's offensive line coach is, the only guy that came close to him, and wherever he went, they had good blocking, Bill Callahan, which is a Chucky guy.
Yes, you know who was good? Jim Hannifin.
That's a way back machine, but you're right.
Yes, he was really good.
Yes, he was.
He was really good.
With Bill Callahan, look at Washington. They were pulling guys off the street. We saw that with our own eyes when the Redskins came in the Tampa Bay. They did just fine with guys having, 2 days of practice? Didn't know. They couldn't have known the offense. And they did fine. They beat the Bucs.
Joe Bugle was
another good guy.
Yeah, another guy.
Yeah.
Coaching matters, Lee. Coaching matters.
Munchak was offensive line coach.
Munchak, look what he did in
Pittsburgh. Grimm when he was with Pittsburgh. So, yeah, there are some that are right up there with Skarnecki. You know, Skarnecki? Is that the Reservoir Dogs?
Skarnecki.
Is that the Reservoir Dogs when they're Skarnecki?
I knew you'd try to get a reference into Quentin Tarantino over there, Lee. Remember the beginning of that movie? I don't tip. Hey, you know, unless they really do something special, I don't tip.
Maybe
what
it was
do you mean
me.
You don't tip?
Maybe it was me. That may have been one of the most overrated movies I've ever seen.
Well, but that breakfast scene in the beginning was funny. That was funny.
Yeah, it was okay. But to me, it was a gruesome. It was like a slasher flick.
It
yeah.
was gruesome.
That ruined it for me. It was gruesome.
What about Jackie Brown? You didn't like Jackie Brown either?
That's the pitcher for the Expos back in the 70s?
Another Tarantino picture.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Honestly, well, I never.
Now, I'll say this about Pulp Fiction. And I know we digress here, but we're talking about a 5-11 football team, so I'm going to digress. There is not one dull moment in that entire movie.
Is that right?
Pulp Fiction is a masterpiece.
I tried watching it.
It's a freaking masterpiece.
I tried watching it, and I didn't think I got past 20 minutes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Is that right?
Fantastic.
Now, when you said Jackie Brown, honest to God, I didn't know there was a movie named Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown, Pam Grier? Come on now, Pam Grier.
I never heard of the movie. And Pam Grier, honest to God, I wouldn't know where she walked in front of me.
Samuel Jackson?
Oh, him I know.
Oh, him you know.
But I don't know Pam Grier. But Jackie Brown.
Even
he was like,
De Niro with a cameo.
Oh,
really?
Oh, yeah. Well, Jackie Brown, I remember, is a pitcher for the Expos in the 70s.
I understand
that. Back to football.
Lee, the Bucs, as we speak, the Bucs are down three guys, and they're 0-3. And But you know what? The walls are not caving in for Buck fans.
They shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be. They absolutely shouldn't.
Well, here's
be.
What's interesting to me again about, we go back to DeSean Jackson. He whined to Chris Sims Super Bowl week on Chris Sims' podcast. He whined, young quarterbacks don't understand me. I don't need to work. You know, young guys always think they need to work. I don't need to work. I've been in the league. Well, now he's going to play for a quarterback who has less experience than Jameis. How's he going to square that?
These deeper receivers will... You know, Antonio Brown. I mean, on the surface, Lee, that guy should generate a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
He's arguably the best receiver in football. Has been for about 5 years. You like Julio Jones. I like Antonio Brown.
Oh, Brown so much
You
better.
Argue both of it. You argue both of it.
I don't even think there's an argument.
Brown scored 15 touchdowns last year. Jones scored about 5.
Who's earned the most money the past few days?
Well, you're not going to tell me Quan Alexander.
No.
Who's earned the most money? Nick Foles?
No.
All right, who is it?
Drew Rosenhaus.
That's a nice one.
Oily Drew Rosenhaus.
Wow.
Look what he did for Quan. Look what he did for Antonio Brown.
Wow.
That's unthinkable what he did. You don't think he's earned some clients down the road from college?
I'm going to say this again about Antonio Brown, and I don't think anybody really talks about it, but you agreed with me. I'm going to say it again. I don't really see a lot of people talking about this as part of the Brown equation in for his dissatisfaction. He was mad Schuster was getting too many footballs.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a big, big part of it.
Yeah.
Schuster's taking the spot.
Uh-huh.
Now, he did score 15 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I had him as a fantasy league. He had five or six big, big games.
Oh, yeah.
Baltimore. But he had five or six games when he disappeared.
He did.
Brown.
He
and
did.
That's not normal Brown.
That's true.
So, I think he went crazy the next to last week of the year.
And then he quit.
Against Baltimore.
Yeah, he...
And then he didn't show up in the last game.
He was one of those players...
No, it was against New Orleans.
Oh, what?
He had a huge game against New Orleans.
He's one of those players, for whatever reason, he raises his game against the better teams. Baltimore, that guy went crazy against Baltimore time and time again. He was just one of those guys so special. The big moment, he rose to the occasion.
What are you looking for from Jason Light and his brain trust by the end of this week? Are you going to be... Should Buck fans be very disgruntled if they don't make a move in week one?
Make a move as far as signing someone or
signing,
a trade?
Signing someone. I don't think it's a catastrophe. I don't.
Not yet.
I think free agency lasts 2 or 3 weeks.
No, sure. And I hope this isn't a sign. I hope this is not a sign they get this linebacker at LSU. I fear that's going to happen.
You're not saying he's not a good prospect.
He's a very good prospect, but... The Bucs have a chance to get a generational game wrecker, generational game changer. Linebacker in 2019 is not the position. And I'll give you a couple examples. One, the Bucs have had one of the best linebackers in the game for 7 years. Has Lavonte David changed this defense?
Absolutely
no.
Absolutely not.
But he's one of the best linebackers in the game. No one will even dispute that. Now, I've seen him change games. I've seen him turn games around. The Cleveland game comes to mind. San Diego a couple years ago at San Diego.
Every year, though, he ends up in the NFC South basement. Every year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a game changer, but like you said, he's a game changer, but he's not a defense changer. Roquan Smith, nobody doubts that guy's not a good linebacker. He's an excellent linebacker. Did he change the Bears' defense? No.
They had a hell of a defense, Lee.
Hell of a defense, but you know who changed that. Khalil Mack. It's the edge rushers. The Chiefs had a lousy defense. But what got them to a hair away from the Super Bowl? Edge rush. That's all it's about. Edge rush. Edge rush. Edge rush.
So you don't even want a D tackle. It's fine.
I'll settle for Ed Oliver. I'll settle for this guy from Alabama who everybody's in love with.
Quinnen, yeah.
Preferably, I'd want Josh Allen. Preferably, I'd want Montez Sweat. I want a guy from the edge who's going to be breathing down a quarterback's neck every other play.
You thought you had him. His name's Noah Spence. You thought you had.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll be fair. And it's his last year to prove it. Light came out and said he's outside linebacker. And everybody I talked to at the combine, I talked to people up in New York. Chris Sims was one of them. I said, give me a breakdown of Todd Bowles. You saw him every week. You're up in New York. I did. Tell me about him. And people really respect Todd Bowles. To a man, people said the Jets did not stink because of Todd Bowles. They stunk because the general manager didn't know how to pick talent. I heard that time and again. So I think Bowles, if there's anything to salvage of Noah Spence, I think Todd Bowles will do it. But it's do or die for Noah Spence. We're being served here by a wonderful waitress.
Very capable.
Yes.
Very capable.
So I wasn't saying thank you, Noah Spence, as in goodbye. I was saying thank you to the waitress, but I digress, as you would say.
All right, Lee, I'm going to wrap up this riveting podcast until we meet again with Isbits, hopefully.
Yes,
And Steve said he's going to get this up quickly. See, he does.
Well, I say I'm going to pick up all kinds of women when I go out, and then
that.
I come up in.
But I'm going to leave you on this note, Lee. Nobody questions Deshaun Jackson's talent. He's been a very good player in this league for a decade. Doesn't come from accident. His yards per catch for his career is among the best of all active players and ranks probably top 20 all time. He's a big play performer. But Lee, and I can see you nodding your head with me, he had to go because you can't put that in front of Jameis Winston going into training camp mm-hmm. and going into the season.
The black cloud.
Where this guy's got to get his 5 touches, his 7 targets. That's no way to build up Winston and make him the best quarterback he can be. So I wish DJ luck in Philly.
I always got along with him.
He's done a good job already in Philly. This will be the second time around. Usually those things don't work out, Lee. Usually they don't.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, good quarterback.
Yes.
No question about it. We'll see if he can recapture his reputation as one of the great deep threats in this league.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Bucs are concerned, Lee,
I think Chris Godwin is on the launching pad.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if he catches 70, 75 balls next year.
Wow.
For 1,000 yards and about 9, 10 touchdowns. I think he's that good. He's got to get in a little better shape. He had a little bit of a fumble problem last year.
He disappeared a few games last year.
He did. But as far as missing DeSean Jackson, no, I'm not going there. Good luck in Philly, DeSean. Pick me up a cheesesteak next time I see you.
I'm going to say something here. You want to comment on it, you can. If not, you just say, that's it, D-Camper. Well, first I want to say I never had any issue with DeSean Jackson. He was always very cooperative with me. And people think, oh, you're backstabbing. I said what I saw. And I'll never forget the first lesson I ever had from a professional newspaper editor. He told me, write what you see. Write what you see. Don't be scared. Don't be bashful. And so what I saw was a guy that was a cancer in the locker room. And I wrote about it. And I had nothing personal against DeSean Jackson. Guy's got money out coming out of his ear. So he's all right. But I will tell you this. If you want to comment, you can. If I heard something at the combine, it was told to me in strict confidence. I can't even say what it's about. But if I let this loose, it's nothing illegal. If I let this loose, only your devout DeSean Jackson slurpers would not say good riddance if I let this out.
We're going to have to wait for your memoir, DeKemper.
Or at least until DeSean Jackson retires. He did something, again, it's not illegal. He did something so, I'll just say,
out of bounds,
that I never thought of a worse teammate than this, what he did. I can't say anything more because it was under strict confidence, I was told, by a party who would know at the combine.
I want to tell our listeners, Lee, this is the way we'll end this podcast. Here's my promise to our listeners. I'll get the Kemper sloshed up in the next 2 weeks. I'll liquor him up, and he might let something slip. Other than that, get out of here, the Kemper.